Good morning. We learned last week that the Issa Ribis applies only when both parties are Jewish. If either the borrower or the lender is a goy, so we saw, according to the Rambam, is actually a mitzvah to be mal to charge a goy interest. Mechaber argues, but certainly there's no Isser. And whatever, if you have a deal that involves ribis, as long as you're dealing with a goy, there's no problem whatsoever. We also learned the halacha is that a mummer, someone who is a kafir be'ikr, he's considered if someone who's an apikoris, oved avod zarah, and for that matter, according to many poskim, someone who does averos lahachis, he's shavek eter v'achol yisura, he does averos not because he has a taiva, but simply because he doesn't care. So there the Mechaber paskins that the issur of ribis does not apply to a mummer either. While the Ramah says, Toiv lahachmir, one should not be mekel. But if you're stuck, the Ramah says, if you can't be mishtamet, if you have to deal with him, then the Isser would not apply. Now this, on the surface, seems to take away a lot of our problems with Hilchos Ribis. Because when you're dealing with a frumyid, so, in general, they'll write a heteriska, they'll tweak the deal, and they'll make sure there's no Isser. If you're dealing with a goy, also, ribis does not apply if one of the parties is a goy. The biggest problems that we have is when you're dealing with a frayir who is Jewish but does not want to write a heteriska. It'll come out now that as long as you're on the lending side, if the borrower is a mummer, al pi halacha, there's malkum to be mako, certainly b'di'eved, to be malva b'ribis. As we're going to see, things are not quite that simple. And the problem is that if we continue in the Mechaber, Mechaber writes, a karoyim ein lehem din mumarim. A karoy does not have a din of a mumar of asur l'halvois and beribis. Now karoyim did not believe in Torah Shebal Peh. Someone who does not believe in Torah Shebal Peh is a bona fide apikiris. So if he's an apikiris, what does this mean? Why is there an issur to lend him beribis? According to the Mechaber, it should be mutter. So the Mechaber is based on Rambam in Mamrim Perek Gimel. And what the Rambam says is as follows. He starts off by saying that someone who is a min, he's a mummer, and he goes to the halachos of Meridim Vloimalim. Zog the Rambam, Bamed Devar Amurim, when do we say that someone who is not Bikoiris, or someone who does Averis Lahachis, has a din of a mummer? That's talking about someone who is Koifer B'machshavtai B'dvar M'shenir Aloi. If a person on his own one day wakes up, he decides, you know what, I want to be a karoy. Such a person is a min, and there we say is a mummer, all these halachas apply. Zog the Rambam, that's only that person. He grew up from, he was a maimon, and he went off the derech. But zog the Rambam, avo b'nei hatoyim ha'elu, this person's children, uvnei b'neihem, sheidichu oisam avoyislam v'noldu ben akaro and v'godlo oisam aldaitam. This person's children, his grandchildren, his descendants, who they grew up, they were mechunuch in this hashkafu of the karom to be an apikoros. Zok the Rambam, such children, they have a din of a harehu kitinik shenishba b'neihem, v'godlu. So there the halacha is, afof bi sheshama achakach shehu yehudi, even though they know, or they find out afterwards that they're Jewish, they know they're not practicing the way other Jews practice, still, harehu ka'onus, shegadlu al te'usam. Zog the Rambam, they have a din of an onus. Most places can learn it means this labdafka, it means it's a shoygid. Since they grew up, they were trained, and they were brought up with a kroma hashkafa, so we cannot consider them a mummer. It's not their fault. This is what they grew up as, what they were trained in. They thought this is the truth. And therefore, the Rambam paskins, such a person who grew up with this hashkafa does not have a din of a mummer. Now, based on this, many poskim say that today, if a person was from and he went off the derech, so there we can talk about the din of a mummer, if he was kafir be'ikar, or if he was a mummer lahachas. However, his children who grew up not from, who grew up with the wrong hashkafos, there he has a tinik shenishba, and it does not have a din of a mummer, and it would be usur to be malvot beribis to such a person. Now, the truth is, this is not quite as straightforward as it sounds. If you look at the Radvaz, which is printed, which we have in the Maror Mekoyimus, what he says is that the Rambam Nira Shekasev Rabbeinu Zeh Lumot Zchus Al Karon. Zok the Radvaz, this is true on the Karon that existed in the times of the Rambam. The Nebuch, they grew up with the wrong Hashkafas, so what can you do? It was a Nebuch, and they don't have a din of a mummer. But Zok the Radvaz, Avam Ninsom Bismanenu, the Karon that are around today, there he says the halacha is they have a din of a mummer, and they have all the halachas. Every day we try to give them mussar, we try to do outreach, we have seminars, discovery, whatever they used to do back then. And not only are they not receptive, they're macharif, they're regadif, they fight it, they're anti, they're not interested in anything to do with Yiddishkeit. That these people, even though they grew up as Karoim, since they were now exposed to Torah, they were given Musar, there was an outreach, and still they rejected it, they were Mecharif and Megadif, at that point, they revert to the din of a Mummer. Now the Chazon Ish famously writes that this whole issue, he says, is, you know, he goes to the Shittas Rambam, he says that if someone grew up with not from, he has a din of a tinik shenishba, but he says it's a hachra. Chazal had the whole machlokes and different shitas are, did this person get enough musar? Was he exposed to Yiddishkeit in a way where it's a taina on him, why he wasn't choizer b'tshuva? If he was exposed to enough of appropriate musar and enough of Yiddishkeit, at that point, if he doesn't do tshuva, he will have a din of a mummer. But until that point, he'll have a din of a tinik shenishba, and these halachos will not apply. Chazon Ish says b'shem Ram Lublin, he says that today there's no one around that knows how to give musar, and therefore today, when there's someone who's not from, when someone who is, we can't blame it on him that he's rejecting the musar or he's rejecting our lifestyle. It comes from the fact that we don't know how to give toichacha, we don't know how to set the appropriate role model, and therefore Chazon Ish says today you can never give a person a din of a mummer. You always have to assume it's a shayugig, and he always will have a din of a tinik shenishba. Now the halacha, I think most poskim follow this Chazon Ish. It is interesting. There are quite a number of poskim that learn the Chazon Ish is a suffolk, because today we don't know how to give mussar, so we can't really be mishayer whether or not the person is a shogeg, or at this point he became an oinus. So you have to be machmir both ways. Mitzad sheni, the Gros Moshe seems to hold it as a davar pashut. He has a din of vaday tinik shenishba, and it would certainly be usur to be malva beribis. Halacha l'maisa, what comes out then is that even if you're dealing with someone who's not from anyone, and you're in a situation where you're malva beribis, it is very difficult to be mekel and say he has a din of a mummer. You always have to be choshesh, she has a din of a tinik shenishba. The exception to that will really be, is there's a radvaz that Pesach Tshuva brings down, is that what happens if you're dealing with someone who is clearly not from, but and you don't even know if he's really Jewish. He mentions at some point, he claims he's Jewish. You don't know that he's Jewish, there's no chazakah, you really don't know. So in such a case, where he's definitely not from, and you don't even know, he may even be a goy, there, the Radvaz Paskins, you're allowed to be Malva Beribistin. But in a case where you know that he's Jewish, and it's just a question, does he have a din of a mummer, or does he not have a din of a mummer, there, certainly, the person is not going to be able to be Mekel. It's possible, in certain cases, there'll be a sniff, it'll be used if you have other Tzerufim to be Mekel, but to be Mekel just on this, is certainly you can't do.
We have a way to find the end. And now it's easier to find out where people came from, so when you have a thing to go after.
I don't know. The Radvaz, you have to realize, even the Radvaz that says it's Mutter, Radvaz is going with the Mechaber that says you're allowed to lend a Mummer Beribis. The Mechaber, the Ramah either way says Tov L'Hachmer. So even with this Radvaz, you're not going to be quick to be Mekel. It's going to come up when it's a B'dieved Dika situation, and you'll have to deal with what other Tzerufim there are. If he himself was from and now he became a kafir biker, so there that's not a tinik shenishba. There you say he has a din of a mummer, but even a mummer we said the most past is toiv lahachmer, and you're gonna have to deal with this, you know, depending on the case. But it certainly will be a very strong sniff if you're in a deal. If it's after the fact, that's something that a rov will take into account. Very likely. I don't like discussing specific people. I never met him. But certainly from his reputation, that sounds like a fair statement. What? Right. Correct. If it's Luteyavoin, if he's even a Mummer Luteyavoin, well. Really, Mechal Shabbos for Hesed usually is the same halacha. So it's usually fairly easy to tell. And l'teyavoin means that he's doing it because, you know, it's more gishmak. If a person has two pieces of meat in front of him, one kosher, one treif, and he'll just eat the treif for one, because that's not l'teyavoin anymore. That's lachas. Mishabit has the same halacha. Mishabit would be, his mechaber would say, it's mutter to lend him money beribis. Again, you can't borrow from him, but you can lend him. The Ramah says, toiv l'hachmer, if you can... What? That's a mashoker. Makes no difference. That's a good question. Can you open a bank and you don't know whether someone's a guy or whether someone's a yin? So really what you'll end up with is really with, you know, if it's certainly in this country, roiv people are not Jewish. So if you go holchanacha or roiv, then it should be mutter to open a bank as long as you keep your eyes closed. That being said, first of all, it's Efshel Levurei Bakal, at least in some cases. If your name is Yanko Rabinowitz and he lives in Borough Park, you can probably presume he's Jewish. When it's not possible, you run into a question of whether this is a Kol Deparish Meruba Parish or Kol Kavuk Mechza Mechza. And it might depend who came to who. You have to figure out when the Yisr is. When he comes into the bank, he's Parish. When you send him a bill, or when he mails in your mortgage check, at that point he's kavua. It's a good shayla. It's not for today. So what we have now, it basically is, when you're dealing with a yid, even a mummer, it is very hard to be makel. So you have to be makbid on hilchos ribis. If you're dealing with a guy, everything's certainly going to be mutter. This leads us to probably the most common shayla in hilchos ribis. And that is, in the olden days, you know, it was very easy. A Jew was a Jew, a goy was a goy. There was very little in between, and you knew exactly where you stood. Today, the question is most of the dealings that we have are with companies. We deal with corporations, privately held, publicly held, whatever it may be. But we deal with companies, not with individuals. So the question is, in halacha, are companies Jewish? And essentially, what this question means is, everyone here, I presume, has a credit card. And everyone here probably has a mortgage and a bank account. Now, who do you have this credit card or this bank account with? Some bank, which is probably some huge publicly held company, which is now owned by Uncle Sam. Now, in the olden days when they were privately held, we have a very basic question. We can probably assume that every publicly held company has some Jewish shareholders. Most of the shareholders are probably goyim, but yidduch tend to get around, especially when it comes to investing. And they have every company you're going to deal with has some Jewish ownership. Now, l'chayra, if a bunch of people get together, Jews and goyim get together, they pool their money together and they start lending money beribis, we have a problem. Because if Jews own 5% of the bank, that means 5% of the loan that I take out is Jewish money. I'm paying interest on this portion of the loan. So every single deal that you have with a company that has Jewish shareholders should be awesome. Now for that matter... Oh, very good. We have to have something to talk about. Now if you think about it, this shayla really gets worse. If I were to approach you and tell you, listen, you know, times are a little slow. I have the following business proposal. Let's open a chain of restaurants. Now, I'm going to open this chain around the world. So obviously, we can't just cater to Jewish tastes. We're going to have to serve chazer, cheeseburgers, bas b'cholov. Now, besides that, it's a goyish restaurant. We have to serve wine. Now, we can't just serve Kedem or Baron Herzog. So we're going to have to serve whatever there is out there on the market. And obviously, this is a restaurant. Most of the business gets done on weekends. We certainly couldn't dream of closing in Shabbos or Yontif. So this is a 320, you know, 24/7, 365, full time. Now, I think anyone who is approached with such a proposal would say, "Wait a second, not so fast. We have to deal with Basar B'cholov. We have to deal with Yisrei Hano. We have to deal with Yayin Stam Yayin. We have to deal. You're open on Shabbos. You're open on Yontif. There are a lot of halacha shaylos." Now, I would venture to bet that 90% of the people in this room, if they open up their prospectuses for whatever mutual funds, if they still have any money left in the market, they probably own shares of McDonald's. So why don't we have the same question? To the extent that these companies are dealing with Yisrei Hana, they're dealing with Ribbis, they're dealing with Shabbos issues, how does Halacha deal with it? If I'm a partner, if I'm a shareholder, to what extent am I responsible for the actions and for what the bank or for what the company does. Now, this shaila is not a new shaila. The first person to discuss it was the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, and I put it in the Maror Mekayim because if I didn't, I don't think anyone would believe me. What he writes is that l'chein b'malkem sheish kavutzos mois, which was a bank, zog this Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It is aser for anyone to borrow money from a bank. Because maybe some of the shareholders are Jewish. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch continues that it's aser to invest with a bank either. You can't buy any shares because maybe some of the borrowers will be Jewish. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch paskin, it doesn't matter how many shares you own. If there is one Jew either owning the bank or one Jew borrowing from the bank paying ribis, it's all aser. Now, Badaf could give the share on Sunday, so everyone has a couple hours before the market opens. They don't have to dump their bank shares just yet. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch paskins in no uncertain terms, it is aser to invest with a bank, and it's aser to deal with a bank that has any Jewish ownership. Now, the Shaul Meshiv was the first to respond to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he very strongly disagreed. And he writes in a tshuva, which you have in your Maror Mekayim as well, he said that he spoke to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he said that your psak is wrong, and please, when you reprint the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's a beautiful sefer, but take out this paragraph, it's wrong, just retract from the psak. Why? Chayr, it's a problem. If there's a Jewish shareholder, how can you borrow and pay this bank interest? Zog l'shei ha'meishiv, two approaches. Now, both of them are a bit mechudesh, but I'll briefly go through them. It begins by saying, we know there's a rule of ein shliach l'dvar avera. If you hire a hitman to bump off a rival of yours, he goes ahead, he murders the fellow. So halacha is, it's certainly not a nice thing to do. But if we want to know, are you a reitzeach for hiring a hitman? Halacha is, ein shliach l'dvar avera. You're not the murderer. It's the hitman that did it. He's the reteach. So while certainly, again, the Taz and the Achroidim say that there's a chiyuv lotzis de shemayim, but we don't say shlichus by advar ver. Zog l'shei ha'meishiv, and this is based on a Mordechai b'shem Rashi. Ribbis also. The issue of ribbis is, I want to borrow money. I go to a lender who has money. I say, listen, give me the money. Give me $1,000. I'll pay you 10%. He hands me the money. There we have an issue of ribbis. Zok Rashi, what happens if the lender and the borrower don't deal with each other directly? There's a middleman, there's a broker, there's an agent, and he goes back and forth. Zok Rashi, even though the malva is charging the leiva ribis, but the malva never did it directly. It was through a shliach. We paskin, ein shliach l'dvar avera. If ein shliach l'dvar avera, Zok Rashi, there's no iser ribis. Therefore, paskins the shaila meshiv. Whenever you're dealing with a bank, you're not dealing with a shareholder. You're dealing with, you know, with a manager or a loan officer, whoever's in the bank. He is acting as an agent of the shareholder. Since we hold Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, Zok Demashah Omeshev, there'll be no Issa Ribbis. Oh, it's like this. The whole concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is Vayayir. By a goy, you're right. There's no halach of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera because it's a more basic problem. Ein Shliach L'Akum. A goy can't be a shliach. So if the agent is a goy, then forget about the fact that it's a Dvar Avera. The reason why there should be no Isser is he's not your shliach. What he does is not binding. And therefore, to the extent that you never made up ribis with a borrower, the Shoyal Meisha, based on this Rashi, says it'll be mutu l'chadchil. Very good. So Michas Pitim says that when the agent is a shutif, since for him he's representing himself, certainly on his share it works. Once it works on his share, he says, Migu de zachel inavshe, zachin aim lechavre, he says his heter won't apply. It'll only apply when you're dealing with a loan officer who is not a shareholder. Once he owns one share, then this heter would fall away. Now this psak is a bit controversial for a number of reasons. First of all, many argue, and they say Rashi never said this, the Beis Yosef, the Lavush, the Taz, the Goyin, they all say it's a mistake. It doesn't make any sense. And they say very simply, if we're dealing with a murderer, what's the Isser Ritzicha? The Isser is doing the murder, pulling the trigger. So if you didn't pull the trigger, you had a Shliach do it, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera says, what do you want from me? Speak to the person who actually pulled the trigger. Over here, what's the Isser Ribbis? Is the Isser Ribbis the person who pushed the papers back and forth? Is it the act of handing over the money? It's the Tzitzas Ribbis, the fact that you're lending money and charging this interest. Since you are the lender, and your money is going to this borrower who's agreeing, who's obligating himself to pay interest, therefore we don't care how it went or the process. We look at the result. And since the result is Reuven is paying Shimon Ribbis, we don't care whether it went through an agent, it didn't go through an agent, therefore this concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera will not apply. Other Arkoinim add that when even Rashi is talking about when the borrower had a shliach over here, it's the lender, which for technical reasons is worse. And there are many pikpukim on this kula. We'll perhaps speak about it more when we get to Simon Kuf Samach, when we go through the sugya of shlichos. But the bottom line is, other than the Shaul Meshiv, basically everyone after the Shaul Meshiv rejects this and says you cannot be Samach on this kula. Shaul Meshiv then tries again. And he says like this. We have a bank. Now, the bank, for argument's sake, let's say it's 60% of the shareholders are Goyim, 40% are Jewish. Now, I walk into the bank, I want to borrow money. Now, we have a problem. If I would borrow from the Goyim, no problem, that would be mutter. If I borrow from a Yid, that would be awesome. So if we can come up with some sort of trick where we make it that when I borrow money, I'm only borrowing money from the Goyim, then there'll be no Issa Ribbis. I'm dealing with a guy. Zok Deshayo Omeshev, Halacha has just such a trick. And that is the concept of Brera. We have a Halacha of Yesh Brera. When things are mixed in together, very often we'll have the right to say Yesh Brera. And I can say that the Goyish money went to the Yiddish borrowers, the Yiddish money went to the Goyish borrowers, Yesh Brera, and therefore no one was over any Yisurim. And therefore, the Zok Deshayo Omeshev, for these two reasons, it's mutter. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he says, should retract the psalm. Oh, very good, very good. Now, the Achroinim all take issue with this kula as well, for a number of reasons. First of all, as you pointed out, Reish Breira, we pass him the Araisa in Breira. We only use Breira for Yisrei Drabonim. Because our Meiko, you can say sort of this, everything will work out, put the Yisrei to the Yisrei, the Heter to the Heter, will be mutter. When there's a shayla of a doy raisa, we say ein breira. Now, some places can say that even if you argue in Rashi, it's a derabbanan. Once it's a derabbanan, you can say breira. But that's the first objection. The second objection is more basic. Let's say I'm a shareholder in Citibank. Past couple of years have been very rough. So, at the end of the year, no dividends, they didn't make any money. So, I call up the head of Citibank. I sit down with him. I say, listen, I know, going through your books, you didn't make any money this year. But I went through your loan portfolio, and I saw the reason why you lost money is a bunch of your Yiddish borrowers defaulted. They're all busy with their short sales and defaulting. That's where you will. On your Yiddish partners, clients, you made money. Now, I'm an investor. I have a problem with Hilchus Ribbis. The only reason why I let invest in the bank is we hold Yesh Brera. That we assume that my money went to the Goyish borrowers. And you, the Goyish money, went to the Jewish borrowers. So if that's the case, you should be stuck with all of the non-performing loans in Williamsburg. And I should get all the performing loans, the ones that did well. I don't know how far you're going to get with this argument. And the police can point out that Brera is very nice when we do a chalukah. But if we have a partnership where the whole partnership is predicated on the fact that we're all going to divide all profits and all losses equally, no one has the right to start saying, this loan I'll take, that loan you'll take. It's indivisible, and the concept of Brera does not apply. Now, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has been reprinted many times since this Shaul Meshav wrote the Tshuva. And last I checked, this psak that it's usher to deal with banks is still there. He argued in the Shaul Meshav. It doesn't explain why, but the later Achroinim all reject these two Aterim for the reasons that we mentioned.
But if the person is willing to forego, you know, saying, I can have part of the going, but I'm going to forego that because I don't have your Yisr, so he's going to affect, he's relinquishing that, so shouldn't that avoid the...
In theory he could. The problem is that he doesn't have that right as far as the Goy is concerned. You entered into a partnership. The partnership was predicated on the fact that everyone is equal. Do you have the right to say, I'm only taking from the guy, you know, who are you to make this decision? Your shares don't give you that right. And therefore, you know, it's very nice you want to do it and you're going to be a mavater at the end of the day, but I don't believe, as far as the terms of the partnership, any shareholder has the right to start cherry picking and making these carve-outs.
So as long as there's enough loans here, it shouldn't be a problem.
No, but what happens if the Goyish loans, let's assume the mix is exact. There are 20% of the shareholders of Citibank are Jewish, and you know that there are only 20% of the loans are Jewish, are Goyish. Then we should have...
That would not be the case. I mean,
but even so I'm a partner, the Jews will be partners only in the Goyish loans. So if the Goyish loans perform better than the Yiddish loans,
you're assuming all, you're dividing into two pies, Goyish.
That's what Brera does. Brera does.
You should say each Goyish non-performing loan is swapped with a Jewish loan.
You want to say Brera on the non-performing? In fact, it's non-performing. I think the point that they're making is simply that the terms of the partnership is, we're in this together, and we're all partners in everything. And no one partner has the right to say, I want to carve out this part or that part. And I think from a legal point of view, that's certainly true. You're not, a shareholder's not authorized to do that. Even if you wanted to do it, you would have to sit down with the other shareholders and get their permission. You can't unilaterally decide, even though I own Microsoft, I only want to be a shutif in Windows. I don't want to be a shutif in the other part. You don't have that right.
Basically, everything is on notes and paper and wire, and there's no end. I put a deposit money to the bank. They're not taking my money. The bank very often is in the negative. They're basically, no, it's a number. Everything, in other words, they're not necessarily using my money. They're going to Freddie Mac or Freddie Mac or whatever, however the banks work, but they're not taking my money and lending. It's all on paper.
Okay, so we will get to that. We will get to that. That is a valid point. And what you're basically saying is that when you're borrowing money or you're paying it back, you're not borrowing anything, you're not paying anything back. You're just swapping numbers and, you know, digits for a Federal Reserve account. We'll get to that. There is some, I have heard Bishem, a certain Paisik, that he held that all ribbis today is the Rabbanon, because you're dealing, as long as you're dealing with checks, because it's a Shtar Chayiv. It's a very big Chiddush, sigh from a halacha point of view, sigh from a practical point of view, but we'll have to get back to that another time. No, cash is cash. Even though, what? That might be true, but by definition, it is currency. You do accept it for a reason, right? Even gold, even when currency was backed by gold, what's gold? What are you going to do with the gold? At that point, Ribbis won't be, okay, but there's a Chazon Ish that talks about that, that brings up this point, whether perhaps fiat currencies are different than gold and silver, but he says in the manner of halacha that's not true. Currency is, anything which is accepted as currency, it's dealt with as currency, it's considered money. So you may have philosophical issues with it, you may be one of these people who's just hoarding gold, but the reality is today it is considered money. For now, but... Their currency is the euro. I mean, the fact that they leave it doesn't make the currency a bottle.
That's not
what
I'm saying. In a fairly short time.
That's true. Today we live in a time where people can destroy an incredible amount of wealth incredibly fast. But until that happens, this is considered wealth. Now, if you don't want to take euros, you don't have to. But since everyone else does, today it's considered money. Now, you can think it's unwise. You can, vote for going back to the gold standard, that's fine. And when and if it changes, we'll have to deal with it in halacha. But today, this is considered money. And Bharaya, even you, probably accept greenbacks still. Okay, good. The share's not over yet. Don't worry. So one of the many problems with Hilchos Ribbis is if you want to know where it applies, it usually applies to every point along the way. There's an Isser of a Ketitzas Ribbis, which is the person who makes that initial deal and advances the money, that right then and there, according to many poskim, is an Isser Doraisa, even if it's never paid back. It's Machlekes, we'll get to that. Yes, no, Lamafreya, but the Ketitza itself is Asa. The next point is when it's actually accruing and it's actually collecting, there's an Isser as well. The Hainu, there's the Rush deals with the case where a goy lent or borrowed money by Ribbis, and then he was Megayer. So at the point that he borrowed the money and they made the deal, it's perfectly mutter. It was between a Yid and a goy. But the moment he becomes a Ger, and now the deal is between two Jews, even though the original Ktsitsa was done by Heter, to accrue interest and to collect it, that will be Usher as well. So if you have one bank that originates a loan, then they chop it up and sell it to another party, if any of the parties along the way are Jewish, you have a problem. The reality is, what? The Rush is something that made Daraisa. So like this, what you see from the Rush is, there was a Ktsitsa and there is Ribbis. You don't need that the Ktsitsa, at the time the Ktsitsa was done, it's done by Isser. There's a Chiddush that you see from the Rush. But I don't believe anyone argues. What? Mortgage-backed securities, if at any point there is a Jewish owner, you have a problem. Now, the reality in today's world is you'll probably never know who really owns it. And therefore, you have no choice other than to be Samech on Roif. If you're buying a mortgage-backed security and you know that the borrower is Jewish, you have a problem. If you're buying a pool, that goes into questions of Roif and Kavua and it's... But if you know there are Jews, and if you know that you're buying from Jews, the loan at this point is between two Jews. It's a loan. There's Ribbis. I don't believe there's anyone that's Mekel in that case. People, again, play with Roiv. Even if though statistically it's likely there's a Jew, does that mean in Halacha you have to be Chayish for that? So anyway, be that as it may, so we have a Shailo Meishiv that says Ribbis Aide Shliach or Breiro. We have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that says that it's Aser. And this is just actually the beginning. The next tshuva on this is a Maram Shik. Maram Shik starts off by saying that she goes through the Shalom Meishiv, he argues on both Pshatim. But Maram Shik has other reasons why it should be Mutter. One reason that he's Mutter is he says that banks really are in the Chesed business. Really, they'd like to give you interest-free loans. The only reason why they don't is they have a problem. They have an office to run. They have to pay their bank tellers, their loan officers. So they have to charge to cover their expenses. They don't know exactly how much their expenses are going to be. They don't know exactly how many people are going to borrow. So in the beginning of the year, they set an interest rate to cover their expenses. And then, at the end of the year, if there's a little profit and leftover money, they're not just going to leave it there, they distribute it to the shareholders. But B'Yisrael HaDavar, they're really just there to cover their expenses. And therefore, the Ramchek says, even though in such a case it would be Darabanon, but in Darabanon, again, he's Samech on other coolest reason to be Mekel. Now, it's a very nice Heter, but the later Paiskim say that may have been true in the times of Maramshek. And even today, they have cooperative banks where they're not there to make money. They're there just to service the members of the cooperative. But today, a regular bank, which is a commercial bank, it's for profit, Maramshek clearly will not apply. Maramshek then has another pshat. He actually has a new drasha. Kasbucha lo sitei menesha. Kasbucha, he says, Kasbucha means your money, as opposed to money where there's a goy that's a partner in it. He has a new drasha, and he says it's all mutter. Now, here also, the Achroinim afterwards, the Marshag and others, say it's a very nice drasha. And there are similar drashas we find in the Gemara as well. But we don't have the kayach to make up drashas that are not found in the Gemara. And therefore, most Paiskim argue on this teretz as well. Mamshik has other svaras. We're not going to have a chance to go through all the svaras. But what comes out, bottom line, is that basically, virtually all of the Paiskim then are matter dealing with banks. It was clearly the minog, it was very widespread, and if you go through the tshuvos, it's one of the few businesses that Jews were allowed to do, and there was a tremendous tzarech. But if you go through the tshuvos, no two tshuvos cannot agree why it should be mutter. Each tshuvo, the Shalom Meshev was matter it. Everyone that comes afterwards argues on the Shalom Meshev and says a new reason. You know, Maram Shik has, you know, argues on the Shalom Meshev, he has his other reasons. The Marshag that came afterwards argues the Maram Shik's reasons and the Shalom Meshev's reason, and he comes up with a new reason. And it's very difficult, but, you know, at the end of the day, after all said and done, it's very difficult to point to any one reason why it should be mutter. But there clearly was, it was the practice to do it, and certainly, and you know, again, it was done l'hatzik as a midug. So we have a very serious problem in halacha, how exactly to deal with banks. Well, again, what they'll tell you goodbye means is when they default, the FDIC will step in and they'll take away the bank. But until that happens, your deal is with the shareholders, with the bank, and to the extent that there are Jewish shareholders and there's a problem of ribis, the problem of Shalom should apply. Once they go bust and the government steps in, you're right. Now the deal is between you and Uncle Sam. That's true, but it depends which case you're dealing with. If you're talking about a deposit and there's no Shibar Aguf, so you're right. There's an Igros Moshe that we mentioned last week, that if a corporation that borrows has no Issur Ribis because there's no Shibar Aguf. If you're Samech on that Rav Moshe, you certainly can deposit money with the bank. It's not going to help you when you're taking a mortgage, because you very much have a Shibud Aguf to the bank, and therefore Rav Moshe would not apply. Okay, at this point, we're right. Correct. No, like this. To the extent that the shareholders are Jewish shareholders, then when you deposit the money, when you deposit funds in a bank, you are lending some of these funds to Jewish shareholders. They're paying you back the principal, and at least they used to pay you interest on your deposits. So at that point, if we're going to look at a shareholder as a shutuf, as a partner, we're back to the same problem. It works both ways. But he's pointing out correctly, according to the Igros Moshe, that when there's no personal liability on the borrowing end, there's no issur ribis, then depositing money in banks would not be a problem. So anyway, so this leaves us at a little bit stuck, and we're not going to have time to go through it now. But there is a shita of the Igros Moshe, and we'll see there are many other achronim also that say a bank, or the way we look at a bank or publicly traded companies, are treated in halacha completely differently. And the Mirtz Hashem, we'll go through that next week. Thank you.